We begin today, as we do many days on this program, talking about Web 2.0, and doing that today with Ellen Howe. She is vice president in the Homeland Security practice at Firo Group, and a former assistant administrator for strategic communications and public affairs at the Transportation Security Administration. Ellen, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on.
It's great to have you here. And as anybody knows who looks at our website, we are big fans of Web 2.0 and Government 2.0. Talk about the genesis of this at TSA as you were there and trying to stand this up, because this is relatively new all over the government. How did you get people who had been in the administration for a long time and who maybe were not as committed to the idea of using these tools as you were to go along with doing these?
Well, I think that we had everything to gain and not very much to lose, because what we had found was that there were so many people out there already talking about us or criticizing us that we just decided we had to take it the next step beyond having a website. And, you know, with TSA, you're trying to reach people before they reach the airports.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to try to get the word to them about what they need to know. And with the complexity of having liquid restrictions and things that happened a couple of years ago, it was just a natural step. Also, because people thought that the liquid restrictions were bogus, it gave us a forum to talk about those things.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly having leadership that was committed to making this happen, in the case of the former administrator and the former secretary of DHS, that, you know, DHS had their blog,
mm-hmm.
and then we came along and we wanted to do a blog, but we also wanted a very open comment policy. And so when you can go to other departments like legal, like IT, like records management, and say, this is something that the administrator wants to see happen, then it made it easier, but it still took time to get it done. And, you know, government is inherently slow and bureaucratic, and change can be difficult. So it was one of those things where we just weren't going to take no for an answer,
mm-hmm.
and we had to really push forward, and then we put together a good team of people that helped make that happen, that had a lot of good ideas. And you really have to watch it 24/7. It's not something that you can walk away from on the weekend or whatever. You've really got to have somebody who's kind of living and breathing it all the time.
Yeah.
Helps to have a team.
Uh-huh. I want to come back to the idea of going around to the various decision makers, signer offers, and getting them on board with this, as you talked about a moment ago. But I want to talk about the comments, because as I go through the TSA blog and look at the comments and see, there's some things on there that are not particularly, if somebody was going to accuse you of censoring the comments, they wouldn't be able to do that really too well after taking a look at some of the things that are on there. It's obvious that from the beginning, the intention was to let people say their pieces within the realm of decency, of course.
It was sort of like a floodgate opened when we started that blog. I think in the first weekend we had 2,000 comments. And so it was like, you know, a pressure cooker that had built up, and it just came exploding
yeah.
out with frustration and comments. And so my goal and Kip Holly's goal was to see transparency and authenticity. And so to make that happen, we had to have, you know, the comments from the public. So our criteria were simply two things: no profano and no threats
mm-hmm.
of any kind. So if we got anything, you know, that was along those lines, then it wouldn't get on there. And we even did keep a deletometer, so you can see even to this day how many have been deleted. There's really not that many that have been deleted. But we understand that the public has frustration with airport security. And so, you know, to make it authentic, we really had to have that voice of criticism in there.
Mm-hmm.
It also gives us a chance to come back and refute some of the comments that we get.
Yeah, I imagine there have been a number of times where people just are absolutely sure that they know something is a fact, and yet it's not, and you're able to get that information out there in a way that you might not otherwise have been able to.
Yeah, and that's the tricky thing about security, because the good thing post 9/11 is there's a great link up with the intelligence community, but you can't always talk about everything that's going on that intelligence side of things. So we could try to shed more light through the blog, and then where we had opportunities and things went public, say, for instance, the liquid bomb plot in 2006, then we were able to share a little bit more of that insight and let people know, you know, that the new liquid restrictions were based on science and had been come up with by the national labs and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. I recall when that first came out, and the general consensus in the public seemed to be, this is just some arbitrary thing that they cooked up to make our lives miserable. And I couldn't help but think they probably have better things to do than that at the TSA than just come up with.
Exactly. Right. It was based on science and it, you know, it's still there today. You put your liquids all together so that the officer can get a good look at it. The equipment can't detect liquids yet specifically what they are, but they'll eventually get to that point. When they get to that point, maybe we'll see the restrictions change somewhat.
Did you notice a difference in the ability to get a message directly to Mr. and Mrs. Citizen compared to having it go through outlets like this, print outlets, television, and so on?
Well, I think so, but I think, you know, with your blog, you're still looking at a limited audience to a certain extent. The people that are out there already talking about these things. The web certainly is a way to get a more unfiltered message in general to the public. And I think also to quickly respond in your own words. For instance, we had criticism when somebody at an airport had a MacBook Air computer come through and it looked a little strange, and it gave blogger Bob, who was a real officer who came in to run the TSA blog, the opportunity to get a MacBook Air, go and put it through the machine, show everybody that the processor looks different, explain that the reason we look at computers is because we're trying to see if they've been tampered with, because electronics are typically the things that have been tampered with when it comes to explosives. And, you know, we were able to demonstrate that pretty effectively and quickly right on the blog. So that was a very good example of something unfiltered that managed to get a lot of hits, not only on our website, but on our YouTube site, et cetera.
One of the things that I've learned from following the blog and some of the other resources that you have there is the fact that some of the things that you have up there, that they're there, indicates that there is a real lack of knowledge, maybe that's good, about all the bad things that people can cook up. I think 99% of the public would never imagine that the way that somebody might try to do something bad is by hollowing out a laptop and putting something in, trying to carry it on an airplane.
Right. And another example that we put up on our website, I think was the year before last, on electronic toys. We didn't say we were going to ban them. We just said that we had some information about, you know, people using electronic toys. I think some people have been picked up down in South Carolina. So we said, you know, if you're coming through with your kids at Christmas, we might take a closer look. We're not telling you that we're going to take this away from you or you can't bring it, but just beware that we're going to take a look at it.
What was the hardest part as you were standing this up initially about getting everybody to buy into the idea this is a something you should spend time on?
Well, I think one of the things you have to remember about any publication that comes out of the government, in my case it might be a press release, is that there's a vetting process and other people have to read it and sign off on it and be comfortable with the content. But for a blog to really be effective, you can't have a 3-day vetting process for a blog entry, and you don't want a bunch of legalese dumped into the language, et cetera.
Yeah.
So to really come up with a team approach where we could do a quick turnaround in the midst of everything else that's going on, and to get to that comfort level where you didn't feel like you had to micromanage every entry, but yet recognizing that it did speak for the agency, that was really a tough thing, I think, to work through and get to the point where we did have a team that could sit down, get together, think about topics, and then also to keep it moving, keep it relevant. You know, at FARO, we have security debriefs, so there's constantly a number of people that are contributing. In a government agency, you've got a smaller number of people that are contributing, but you don't want that blog post just sitting up there for 5 days straight without something new coming along after it.
Yeah, that's one of the things that some of the experts that we have come through on the content end of it have talked about, is that it's got to be constantly, you know, at least every day and sometimes 2 and 3 times a day. Otherwise, people just figure, well, there's not going to be anything. It's blogging is a real habitual kind of thing, both for the people who do it and for the people who consume it.
Exactly. And when other people say about these topics on other sites, you know, sometimes that's a way that you can update your, you know, find a new topic, or if you're getting criticized somewhere, then, you know, that for us was part of it. We wanted in that dialogue because we knew that we were part of the dialogue, but we didn't have a voice in it.
Ellen Howe is vice president in the Homeland Security practice at Adfero Group, former assistant administrator for strategic communications and public affairs at TSA, and we'll continue our discussion of implementing Government 2.0 when we come back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, talking to Ellen Howe, Vice President of the Homeland Security Practice at Adfero Group, and recently of the Transportation Security Administration, working in the Strategic Communications and Public Affairs Department there. And is it fair to call you a guru of Government 2.0 with your involvement with the Evolutions of Security blog? Or is that maybe overdoing it a little bit?
Maybe a pioneer in federal government 2.0.
I have a tendency to overdo it from time to time, so you'll have to excuse me for that. One of the things that you were telling me about during the break, though, that I think is fascinating is the Got Feedback program that you started there, which for somebody that's as heavily into the citizen service, customer service business as TSA is, I think is pretty neat.
Yeah, TSA really touches about 2 million Americans a day, literally, going through the nation's airports. So accountability is something that we always have to think about. And typically, if you had a customer service complaint, you would call in to a phone line and get a very well-intentioned contractor who had a series of scripts and could try to answer your question and maybe log a report that would then be sent out to the airport. And maybe eventually you'd get back an answer to whatever had happened to you at the airport that day. With Got Feedback, we took the blog a step further. And if you go on the TSA.gov website, there's a map there, and you can click on the state, and then you can actually, you know, send in some information about what happened to you. And we promoted this by getting these Got Feedback stickers. So when your email comes in, what happens is it gets routed to the TSA customer service person at that airport. So wherever you had the incident or the occurrence you have a question about, we'd send it out, and you'd actually get an answer that would be run to ground by the TSA customer service agent at that airport, and they'd get back to you and try to resolve your issue for you. And, of course, you know, with the younger generation constantly going to the web, they're much more comfortable with that necessarily than making that phone call. So it's a great accountability feature and helps people get a quicker turnaround on their questions.
I'm looking at the map right now, and I'm going to go ahead and I click Maryland, and and here it is, and I can scroll down to any of the airports. Oh, this is very cool. And so that's interesting. It even has the small airports, Hagerstown and Salisbury. It's not just BWI.
Right, right.
Interesting. All right. And as far as feedback, not just in this particular area, but we talked a little bit about the feedback on the blog. One of the things that I've found that is that people always have interesting stories about the feedback that they get where somebody writes to you or emails you or whatever and says, I'm not interested in posting this for all the world to see, but this is the experience that I had. Have you found by making this information available the way that it's available on the web through the blog and so forth, did you get some stories like that where people contacted you and said, this is how this made a difference to me?
I think maybe a little bit, but more definitely the open dialogue and the people on the blog that want to be a part of the ongoing conversation and debate about aviation security. I think there, you know, there's a lot more that was coming in just through the regular channels.
When you first started with the Evolution of Security blog, and one of the things I'm always interested in is who decides who writes and who decides what they write about. There are some blogs where that's kind of not pre-programmed, because I don't want to take away from the spontaneous nature of it. But there are times where we have a message to get out, and this is another way the message is going to get out. And that's a little bit different than the traditional blogging style. Was there a plan when you started the blog, or was it just, we're going to try this and see where it goes?
I think that part of the entire goal was to get the public engaged and back on our side, so to speak, and really make public engagement part of the whole security strategy, mm-hmm. since people have, you know, tended to maybe, you know, not have it top of mind anymore, yeah. why we're doing security. And so we definitely were looking at other things that were out there in the blogosphere where we might be criticized, relevant events where we could debunk myths or explain the whys of security in a general, you know, as a general overview of what we were looking to do with the blog. And then with a collaborative approach and a team of people, many of whom are still there within the government, mm-hmm. they could take that, you know, on a day-to-day basis, depending on what's happening and what's relevant, what has the news hook, so to speak, for that given day.
You touched on something there that I'd like to come back to after our next break on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, and that's how the transition went with handing off these kinds of things. My guest on Federal News Radio 1500 AM is Ellen Howe, Vice President of the Homeland Security Practice at Adfero Group. Back in a moment. Welcome back to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. The General Services Administration yesterday announcing some agreements with commercial social media providers to allow federal agencies to use those tools in a much more easy way. And my guest is Ellen Howe, Vice President of the Homeland Security Practice at Adfero and former Assistant Administrator for Strategic Communications and Public Affairs at the Transportation Security Administration. I want to talk to you about your thoughts about the new GSA agreement in a minute, but I want to go back to something we were talking about before the commercial break, and that is the transition. A lot has been made of President Obama's team and the fact that they used Web 2.0 tools so much during the campaign and have started to apply it to the administration. We have essentially a town hall meeting done by Web 2.0 today, which we'll get to some highlights of in a few moments on In Depth. But what do you think about where the potential for these tools has to go? Is this something that are we in the, you know, are we in the first couple hours of this as a full day? Are we at lunchtime of this phenomenon? There's not that much more to do with them, or is this do we not even have any idea of the potential for the agencies to be able to reach people?
I think it's going to rock the world, so to speak, and especially with the younger generation that's coming along and the people that are kids today that are going to grow up with it second nature. I think it's hard to even imagine the innovation that we're going to see coming out of future web. So I think this is just the beginning. Mm-hmm. And I think with what GSA has done was saying, yeah, you can go on Twitter, you can go on Facebook as government agencies, that's a great opportunity. We know members of Congress are already using those tools, certainly, mm-hmm. and getting the word out quickly on various things. And what that will do is it'll help mainstream the conversation. So, for instance, if we're on our blog talking about security and there's the, you know, captive audience there that wants to watch that stuff or pay attention to it, but by taking it into some of these other formats, you're going to be able to mainstream it and reach a lot more people.
Now, you already have a channel on YouTube. YouTube is one of the providers that GSA reached this agreement with yesterday. But talk about how you've used YouTube at TSA to provide information to people or get messages out about what you're doing.
Well, I have to say that TSA wasn't the first DHS component to use YouTube. The Coast Guard has done an excellent job using YouTube and putting up rescue videos and that kind of thing, and they have a wonderful site. So they were really pioneering that. In terms of what we did, you know, a lot of times when you're at the airport checkpoint, there's hidden cameras there, mm-hmm. and they keep tape of what happens for quite some time, or, you know, maybe it's 3 weeks or a month. But we had a situation where over at DCA, there was a woman, and it was a sippy cup incident. And, of course, you know, she wanted to blame the TSA officers for something that had happened. We were able to go back and get that tape and instantly refute her story and put it up on YouTube and show that it was really her throwing a temper tantrum. And, of course, a big piece for us is to, at TSA, and I speak about it now in the past tense, but the people that work at TSA and the leadership at TSA care so much about that workforce, mm-hmm. and wanting them to succeed and wanting them to get the respect that they deserve. So to be able to go out and refute a case where somebody just wants to make the transportation security officer the scapegoat, mm-hmm. that's a very empowering thing, and that's something that the workforce really appreciate.
What, and there, but that could, leads me back to kind of the, not necessarily just legal, but the policy and procedural ramifications of that. What kind of a chain do you have to go through to be able to do something like that? Because that's extremely powerful. I mean, here's somebody that's getting some publicity and news. I think I remember this where the news agencies were starting to follow this, was starting to get some play, and this person was being portrayed as the victim. The assumption was automatically toward her and against the government. And just like that, by seeing that tape, that changed it around. But what kind of a turnaround time did you have on that, and what did you have to go through to be able to get that up there?
I think we were able to do it relatively quickly because once we had gotten the lawyers, you know, vested in the process as well, I mean, we certainly weren't marginalizing them. They were there. They were at the table. And, again, collaborative process early on with the blog, and still today, the, you know, the lawyers would have some – say so in, you know, any issue that came up. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you, there's certain people, like, you learn that you're always going to work with lawyers if you're doing public affairs work. And so you want to make that work well. But, you know, we ran the traps on it. We made sure we had the answers. And I think that, you know, just getting to the point where you're doing very quick public affairs turnaround and response, because time is of the essence. That's another thing. I mean, this is such an instantaneous world that we're in with the web that, you know, you lose a lot if you can't be timely with what you're accomplishing.
That actually has been kind of the stumbling block for some people from the direction that I wouldn't have thought, and that is that it is easy to get to use these things. It's cheap in most cases, free in almost all of them, actually. And so for some folks coming in, there's a tendency to, oh, well, I'll just do this, and not thinking about the legal ramifications or policy ramifications. And so that's where I guess some folks have run into trouble at the agencies, is by automatically deploying these things and not thinking about the I don't like to use the term red tape, but it's the only one I can think of at the moment. You know what I'm talking about?
I think that, you know, what you have to do is think about, you know, remember that you're representing the government entity and the agency. Think about the mission and the people, and then be able to act in the way that's going to portray, you know, your agency in the best light and move forward in a responsible manner and work collaboratively with all segments of the organization. But I think this is really going to, you know, take the government into uncharted territory and allow a lot of other agencies to move forward in these dialogues where they haven't gone before.